We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Halfway home with you on a Tuesday night. Watching SmackDown, which is live from State Farm Arena tonight. But Chuckery's in the house, halfway home with you. Go until 11, full 4. 404-741-0929. That's our phone line. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to interact with us. We stream online at 929thegame.com. You can catch us live, replays of the shows, interviews, finest moments. It's all at 929thegame.com. Download your radio.com app. Put that on your device, phone, tablet, turntable, boombox, 8-track player, whatever you got out there. Commodore 64. That way you can always catch us on the go. Best way to follow along with the show is through our personal Twitter handle. I'm at JMCH316, at JMCH316. He's producing the show tonight. He's Jarvis Davis, behind the glass, at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. Let's get to the Falcon flyover. I'm just watching Kevin Owens here. Man, they're going down. They're trying to do the whole Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's fired and all that. Always remember, folks, what's old is new again. Okay. Anyway, looks like the Falcons are bringing in punter Matt Weil. Is that how you pronounce his name? W-I-L-E? Is that how you pronounce it, Jarv? Weil? To the practice squad. Now, we told you about Matt Bosher, who was struggling mightily the other night, too. Now, Jarvis, what I heard was that happened like around did that happen in warmups that when he got hurt? Is that what I'm hearing? What I'm hearing is that he got hurt in pregame warmups. Is when that all went down. Matt was having, oh, look, Ric Flair in the house, baby, with Charlotte. Dang, wait, we're missing this tonight, Jarvis. We should have been at SmackDown tonight. Anyway, yeah, it's our secret show that we're doing. So Matt Weil was added to the practice squad in case they need him against the Colts. Remember, Dan said the other day that it would be probably Friday or so before that they would figure out about whether or not they're going to need an additional punter. Remember, he kicked for the Falcons back in 2016, the last time Matt Bosher missed a game. And he did do some punting for the Vikings a year ago, where he averaged 45.2 yards a punt. So he has punted here before. He has been with the Falcons before. So, again, you know, hopefully it doesn't have to come down to a punter. My thing is, as long as he doesn't get the punt blocked, I don't really care what he does after that. Just kick the football away and and just let it happen from there. All right, a few things from Pro Football Focus. Randy McMichael's favorite stat. No, I take that back. Hugh Douglas's favorite stat. Quarterback pressures. So the most quarterback pressures last week, this past week in the NFL, Everson Griffin was number one with 11 and tied for number two with Shaquille Barrett, Chris Jones, and Khalil Mack, Tack McKinley. So Tack ended up with the second most quarterback pressures. Now, I know he joked or something on Twitter about he should have three or four more sacks. Well, okay, well, go get three or four more sacks then. Like, don't go – what? Like, again – don't go on Twitter and tell me you should have three or four. Go get three or four more sacks. Like, you don't have to tell. Just go get them, man. Go, Tack. Go get them, buddy. Go get it. Go get you about a dozen this year. Go find you a dozen sacks and get at it. Also from Pro Football Focus. So Calvin Ridley was the highest graded Falcons offensive player. He had an overall grade of 84.4 on 41 snaps. He was targeted 10 times. 8 catches, 105 yards, 6 first downs, and a touchdown. So I know Julio had the 2 touchdowns, but Calvin really graded out as the number one offensive player for Pro Football Focus. And this is a strange one. Jarvis, how about this one? Coach Dan Quinn won the Pro Football Focus Decision of the Week honors. So it says here, and I'm having trouble reading all of this. there's like three different stats that they have about Dan Quinn. I wonder if I can find this with the Falcons real quick. There are three different stats that Dan Quinn, I guess, got graded highly in. So one was there was a 43% chance to win with a conversion. So in the fourth quarter, 2 minutes and 10 seconds, fourth and three at the Atlanta 46, 43% chance to win with a conversion, 15% chance to win with a turnover on downs, 25% chance to win with a punt. So I don't know what all that means, but somehow Dan got the Pro Football Focus honor decision of the week. Because he threw it to Julio? I don't know. Didn't Matt audible into that play? Oh. Yeah. So the game-winning play at the end of the game, was that Dan or was that Julio that audible? I'm so confused by – there's so many things confusing me tonight. So many things. But, hey, congratulations to Dan. He's the Pro Football Focus coaching decision of the week honor. Do you get a plaque for that or how does that all work out? So I don't know. I don't understand anything nowadays. All right, let's get to some audio. Speaking of Dan Quinn – here's Dan talking about some of the things to work on this week.
There's plenty of spots for us to work on. Clearly on special teams, penalties were a factor in our field position being backed up. I thought having interceptions down the red zone to take off points off the board, that's an area. And then defensively to allow a fourth down and four score in the red zone. On both sides, we got work in the red zone to do.
Yeah, I mean, look, going up to Indianapolis, hitting the road, you know, they got a quarterback, obviously, you know, not the quarterback that they had in mind when they started this season, but, you know, Jacoby Brissett is capable. Like any NFL quarterback, if you give a quarterback time to do things, then he will pick you apart. Even the worst quarterbacks in the league will, if you give them time and allow them to huck it around, they can do damage against you. So, to me, I really want to see this. Look, I think the defensive line played really well against Philadelphia, and that's what basically – one Hall of Famer and one, you know, Pro Bowl, All-Pro. They got two of the best tackles in all of the NFL. So the strength, would you say that the strength of their line is their interior, Jarvis, for Indianapolis? Is that a fair assessment? First of all, they got that dude. Yeah, they got that dude, okay? Like, you thought you saw a lot. The guy you're going to see on Sunday on the interior line, yeah, he's that dude. Like, that's my favorite player in the league. And Randy McMichael and I talked a lot about him. If you don't know who that dude is, go on their offensive line and go watch some video of that dude. Jamon Brown, of course, got the start for the injured Chris Lindstrom. Here's Dan Quinn talking about Jamon Brown's play on Sunday.
Other than the holding foul, I thought for his first lap out, it's exactly what we hoped it would be, especially in protection. I don't think there's any hits, any sacks. We had the one foul, like I said, but we knew we were going to get tested, you know, against a really good front, especially with Cox, you know, the power that he has to go and push. But I thought Mac and he, you know, were able to stand up and fight and battle for it. They were the ones matched up, you know, to that side more often.
Look, the thing I like about when you're talking about Brown and you're talking about McGarry and you're talking about Carpenter is the fact that, look, you got three very physical types of offensive linemen there with a little bit of edge, with a little bit of nasty physicality. You know, those guys, if they get you locked up, is where the strength is. I mean, once they get you locked up, trying to go out there and take them from there. I like what this offensive line brings. It still needs to get the running game going, okay? Did a really good job of not allowing Matt to get whacked around, but need to get that running game going against Indianapolis. One more from Dan Quinn as he was much more happy with the solo tackling on Sunday night.
Those are ones you're looking for as a coach. You know, you're owning your leverage, doing it right. I saw it with Deion. I saw it with Kiki. I saw it with Oliver. I saw it with Foyer had one good one in the open field. So the inline ones, that's a, you know, one, there's a second and third guy there, but it was just you, just by yourself in space, and can that tackle go down right where it's supposed to? I thought that was good.
Well, obviously, Dan is the new defensive coordinator, so they better be figuring some things out because it's all on him. Like, he's got nobody to trot up there at the podium and take any heat for anything. He's the DC. He's the guy that's in charge of all of it. So if it doesn't come all together, then that's all on him. By the way, Jarvis, that's Charlotte Flair. My goodness gracious. Dirk Cutter. Yeah. Dirk Cutter talking about how well both guards played last Sunday himself.
I thought both guards did fine. I mean, Jamon with a big assist from Alex Mack was going against Fletcher Cox almost every play. And you know, Fletcher Cox is a legitimate game wrecker in this league. So I thought Jamon did well. I thought both Jamon and James, their experience showed up.
Yeah, listen, I think you have to like what the offensive line did, no question about it. Matt did not get whacked around and all beat up in that game. Now, Carson Wentz was taking a lot of beatings, in fact, to the point where he got knocked out of that game for a little bit. But I thought, by and large, the Falcons' offensive line did a really good job. Like I said, the only thing is I want to see them get that running game going. I don't know if that's as much on the offensive line, if it's on the running backs, but need to get that running game going. They've only averaging about 65 yards a game through these first two games. Get that rush game going. Take some of the pressure off having to huck that thing around everywhere. I'm going to let you hear one more from Dirk Cutter talking about, they a modified RPO and the importance of that run game.
We want to be a run-first team. What a lot of times people don't realize is Matt had 6 completions in that game. So he was 6 for 6 on plays that were runs with passes tagged on him. RPOs, where we were actually blocking a run, and if they would have given him the right look, he would have handed it off. Julio's touchdown in the red zone, that was an RPO.
Okay. Yeah, but the Steelers run a different system. Oh, sorry. We're not back to that conversation. Okay. So basically, Matt knows what he's doing, huh? Is that what you heard from that? Yeah. Okay. I mean, there's Dirk Cutter telling you that Matt pretty much knows what to do. This is what we talked about. You got a 12-year NFL veteran quarterback who has worked with Dirk Cutter. He knows the situation, knows what he's doing. Again, I'm always amazed when no quarterback is perfect. That includes Aaron Rodgers and anybody and Breeze and everybody else, but that's a hell of a guy to have. All right, when we get back, that's life. I am really ticked off about these gas prices. I'm going to get into that part with a couple other things, and we'll hear from John Freaky. Yeah, I said that right. It's all next. Chuck Green, the Key Studios, Sports Radio 910 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back in the Key Studios on the John Chuckery Show. 9:20 on a Tuesday, watching SmackDown. That can only mean one thing.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all
404-741, man, that Carmella, too. She's another one, too, Jarvis. You're my right goodness gracious. 404-741-0929 is the phone line. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to interact with the show. On Twitter, at JMCH316, at JarvisD90. Follow us on Twitter. Give us a follow, and let's grow this thing social media-wise out there. By the way, first, Rockin' Jocks Liberty Bowling Tournament benefiting the Travis Mannion Foundation. That's going to be at Stars and Strikes next Wednesday from 4 to 7. Brian Jordan, Marquise Grissom, Muhammad Masqua, Ronnie Brown, Sin Campbell. All kinds of folks going to be out there. All the shows will be out there. We'll be out there doing our thing and being a part of all of it. So go to our event page at 929thegame.com and check all of that out. So, several things I want to get into tonight. First of all, Jarvis, have you noticed how the gas prices have gone up like 20 cents in the last couple of days? Okay. Yep. Now, the reason for that is they had that oil field attack, the attack on the oil fields in Saudi Arabia. And literally, like, gas, like, this is what's amazing about gas. It's the biggest cartel in the world. Like, gas prices went up, like, around where I live, like 18 cents in like 2 days. It went from like 251 to like 269 overnight. Now, they're saying that the oil production, it'll take about a month, but they'll get oil production back up in about a month to where it needs to be. Where somewhere, they said like in a month, in like about 3 weeks to a month, should be at 11 million barrels and then 12 million by like a few weeks later. So it's going to take them a month or so to do it. But that whole speculatory business and how it's just so rigged. Are you telling me, like, I understand what happened with the field. But are you telling me, like, that the gas that's already in the tanks should go up 18 cents? And there's no other gas. And we've got all this oil we could frack and drill here. And you've got the reserve oil that we... But yet, the consumer's always the one in this thing that gets screwed on this thing. Like, gas, I'm telling you, more than sports gambling, the mafia, there's no cartel like these speculators on these gas prices. None. It is the biggest sham and the biggest crock. There is no reason in the United States of America that we should be paying more than about $2 a gallon for gas. And I don't care how many taxes and ethanol blends and everything else they throw at you up to jack it up too. It's ridiculous how fast it goes up. Because for everybody, that's real money. Like, it doesn't sound like much, but again, think about how often you get gas, and at 18 cents a gallon, and the way that these vehicles are made now, it's ridiculous. It really is. It's such a cartel. And I just look at it and say, okay, they're saying in a month they'll be back up to... So are you telling me that in a month I should expect gas prices to go back down by 18, 20 cents? No, that won't happen. I'll guarantee you there's not a chance in the world that in a month I'll see gas go back down to where it was before this attack. It may get there 6 months from now when it trickles down a penny here, a penny there, a penny here. But it sure went up 18, 20 cents in 2 days. Either we're doing something wrong or there is such a misguided, just the whole policy of how gas prices are determined. It's so shame. Let me tell you, college basketball looks like the Salvation Army compared to these gas cartel things, compared to these speculators on these gas prices. It's disgraceful. It's disgraceful in this country that we can't figure that out. I don't understand. I don't understand because it never goes in the reverse. It never magically just drops down to levels beforehand. It always finds a way to go up, but it never just drops down. You know, Jarvis, I have the picture on my phone, Jarvis. On Christmas Day, okay, so how long ago was that? Nine and a half months ago? Okay, is that like in the grand scheme of things, is that really like that long ago? Like, I'm asking you, has the world changed in 9.5 months drastically? No? Okay. I paid $1.88 for gas on Christmas Day. I have the picture of it at the Kroger at Woodstock right there at Highway 92 in Trickham Road. I paid $1.88 for gas. It's $2.69 around there now. So am I to believe that the world has changed so much that gas is almost 90 cents a gallon more than it was at Christmas, and the world has changed that much in 9 months? In 9 months, the entire world has changed to where that there should be a, what is that? About a 50% increase? Like, what else goes up that fast, that quickly, for no apparent reason? It really is ridiculous how the speculators and the futures market and all that works. It really is. The fact that we allow that to happen as consumers, that's our fault. It's our fault that we allow that to happen. There is no reason in the United States of America to not be able to have gas for $2.25 at most. At most. All right, a couple other things I want to get into. That I'm telling you, that's one of those things that just, I mean, ticks me off to no end. Now, we got the audio back there. So we're watching SmackDown, and we just actually watched Sasha Banks and Bayley. Sasha Banks took on Charlotte Flair just a few minutes ago, and Bayley was out of ringside, and Charlotte knocked her around, and then Bayley came in and interfered in the match and stopped it, and then Carmella came in and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I'm giving it all away. I'm giving it all away. There's a lot of foggy memories about that night. All I know is I was walking around State Farm Arena going, Tony Schiavone, woo! That's the only thing. That's the one thing I can remember about that night, Jarvis, is Tony Schiavone, woo! Anyway, Paul Crane, woo! So, yeah, from now on, it's John Freaky. Good old John Freaky, man. God bless. God bless. He's covered it all. I covered Gorgeous George in the original Nature Boy, Buddy Rogers. All right, one last quick thing here, if we have just a second out there. Jarvis, I had to go buy a new pair of sneakers today. There is nothing worse than having worn-out tennis shoes to go walking and running in. And I was at that point. My feet have been hurting like the last couple of times I've been walking. And I try to get my 10,000 steps in. I had to break down, Jarvis. I'm not a guy that likes to break down and buy shoes. I had to break down and buy new sneakers. I got some New Balance running shoes and stuff. Because let me tell you, there is nothing like having a brand new comfortable pair of sneakers on, man. I've been hog wild on tennis shoes. Yeah, I'm telling you, nothing like it. Because I as much walking on the streets that I'm doing, I needed something. All right, speaking of the morning show and John Freaky, Tim Brown joined those guys to talk about Georgia and Notre Dame. We'll hear from the Heisman Trophy winning NFL Hall of Fame, College Football Hall of Fame. We will hear from him next. John Chuckwe Show, Sports Radio 910 The Game. Hey, Atlanta football fans, join Harry Douglas, Paul Crane, woo, at 92.9 The Game at JR Crickets. It's in College Park off Main Street this Sunday starting at 11 a.m. Hang out with the guys for the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff Show to preview Atlanta versus Indianapolis. Well, earlier today on John Freaky and Hugh Douglas' show, legendary college football, pro football wide receiver Tim Brown. John Freaky, that guy right there. They had Tim Brown on to talk about this Notre Dame and UGA matchup, and the guy started by asking Tim about, hey, how much have the Notre Dame faithful been looking forward to this matchup?
No doubt. I mean, I think, when they came up to Notre Dame a couple of years ago, I mean, the eyes fell as if they had a chance to win that football game. And, if not for their first round draft pick left tackle slipping or whatever happened, they think they would have had a shot. But obviously, this is a very, very talented team that they're playing up against, and they know that. But, you have to be confident going into a game like this, right? Because otherwise, you will get ran out the stadium. And I think right now, they feel as if, they have a shot. You just got to go down and play great football.
Tim Brown joining us this morning as we get ready for Georgia and Notre Dame. Tell me a little bit about this Notre Dame team. Certainly the disappointment of last year going down in the way it ended, going down and facing what was just Tim Brown, a Clemson team that was just on a mission. And so Notre Dame figures, I would think that they had something to prove to themselves in trying to return to the college football playoff.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think, after that game, everybody felt very bad about the program. Like, oh, we gotta do this, we gotta do that. And then you see what Clemson did to Alabama. It's like, well, maybe we are the second best team in the nation. Who knows? I think coming into this game, man, it's a sense of, let's go down. Let's play the kind of football that we play. And, let's not make a whole bunch of mistakes and let's limit the big plays. And I think if you can limit the big plays with a team like Georgia, you got a shot, and let's not give up 40, 50, 70-yard plays and make them go 80 yards. If they go 80 yards 10 times, then it is what it is, So, I think from that standpoint, this is a team, man, that with Ian Book, they don't expect him to make any mistakes. Not a few mistakes. They don't expect him to make any mistakes, and maybe that's a bar that's too high, but that's the mantle that he is living under right now, that he has to come out and play almost perfect football in a game like this if the Irish are going to have any chance to win it.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, we're talking to Tim Brown, Notre Dame legend, NFL legend, and just all-around great guy. You're talking about Ian Book a little bit. Had five touchdowns last week. What other kind of problems could he possibly present for the Georgia Bulldogs as far as running the ball, being able to run the ball?
Well, I think that, Ian is a very smart guy. He's a guy that he sort of reminds me of Rich Gannon. Rich Gannon didn't have the best, most incredible arm in the world, but he was always going to get the ball there on time. He was always going to make the right decision as far as getting the team in the right play. And what happened after that. But, it was never going to be a mental mistake. It was never going to be a situation where you were in the wrong play to go up against the defense. And I think that's the way Ian Book has been looked at this particular point for the Irish is, hey, we know you're not the fastest guy, but you can run. So when we need you to run, you know. And you may not have the best arm, but hey, we're gonna trust you to make these passes and do these things and get the ball down the field. And I think he's been able to show that he's able to get that done. So I think it was exciting. If you're an Irish fan, last week we had a couple guys who were out, a couple of running backs and receivers, and we had a chance to see some freshmen who actually have speed. And we hadn't seen that around Notre Dame in a while. You know, I mean, guys taking a little sweet thing and going 80, 60, 65, 70 yards for touchdowns is not something you've seen with the Irish. And so, you know, it gives you hope that maybe you can make big plays, because that's been the difference in these games for the Irish, whether it was Alabama, whether it was playing Georgia a couple of years ago or playing Clemson, is that we've never shown the ability to have a big play guy. And so hopefully, you know, that'll be a little bit of a difference going into this game.
You know, Tim, I got to tell you, when you say Rich Gannon's name, you know you brought back a flashback of when you, Rich Gannon, and Jerry Rice came into the vet and beat the brakes off us that day. I'll never forget that game. Beat the brakes off of us.
Well, you know, you had the old man crew coming in there, man. I was the youngest at the time at 35, I think, at 34, 35, and Rich a year older than me, and Jerry 3 years older than me, and we knew no one thought we had a chance to win that game versus a very good Philadelphia defense, man. But man, you know, when you have a quarterback who is smart like that, who can put you in the right position, you know, sometimes it doesn't matter what the defense does, unless, you know, somebody just dominates an offensive lineman and gets Rich before he can set his feet and get rid of the ball. If the offensive line holds up, we always felt that we would give Rich enough of a shoulder that he can get the ball out and get the ball to us. And that was a very enjoyable game, because I think it was one of the, you know, best technical games that we played. And we knew we had to be not only physically running the ball, but we had to obviously, you know, get something done throwing the ball also.
Boy, I tell you, flashbacks, nightmares, if you will. That was a hell of a game.
Tim Brown was a hell of a player, won a Heisman at Notre Dame back in 1988. And of course, it's been about that long since Notre Dame's won a national title, been longer than that for Georgia. Tim Brown joining us talking about the Georgia-Notre Dame game. Yeah, but to this game, and both teams have national title aspirations here, I don't know how much players like you did back in your day, Tim, pay attention to things like the point spread. But, boy, I think some people were a little shocked to see that Georgia is a 14-point favorite in this game. Is that the kind of thing that they'll use, that Brian Kelly will use to put on the board and say, in total disrespect for you guys?
Well, you know, I think when you look at Notre Dame in big games lately, you know, you start to understand that, you know. Now, it may not make sense because the only team that they played, you know, close like this would be Georgia, you know, the last couple of years, you know, in a big game like this. Only, you know, they played Georgia pretty close. Like I said, I had the ball at the end of the game with a chance to go win the game possibly. So, so I think from that standpoint, you know, maybe it doesn't make sense from that standpoint. But, you know, Georgia early in the season on the road, everybody's fresh, everybody's healthy. You know, even though Notre Dame is, you know, coming off a pretty big win versus, you know, a New Mexico team, but simply put up 65 points or whatever it was, you know, should raise some eyebrows because it hasn't been done around the Irish place in many years. I'm not shocked, you know. And I don't think anybody in the organization is going to be shocked. They should be. You know, this is just where people think Notre Dame is when it comes to big games. So there's only one way to change that, bro. You know, you just got to go and you know, win this football game. And I dare say, well, if you play them close and all that, then, you know, you earn respect. No, I think this is a game that Notre Dame, you know, should be thinking about trying to win instead of playing close. And I haven't heard anything coming out of camp talking about, oh, we just got to go and play our best football. You know, anytime you hear they start talking like that, man, you know what everybody's really thinking. I think this is a game everybody thinks they can win. And, you know, if you're going to win this football game, you never have to worry about being a double-digit underdog when you play in these big games.
I'm talking with Tim Brown. Tim, this Georgia team, at least as we could see it, and now you understand something that, you know, there are no Georgia fans on the show here. We're just, I'm a Nebraska fan. Yeah. He went to Central State. But just looking at Georgia, it's my impression in watching the first couple of games this season, this is my impression, Tim Brown, that Georgia's the most complete team in the nation. They're even more complete than Clemson and Alabama at this point. I mean, they have so few holes on this team. How does Notre Dame attack Georgia? Where's the weak spot that Notre Dame can exploit?
Yeah, well, you know, I haven't watched Georgia that close to be able to break them down like that, brother. But, you know, look, you know, a game like this, man, for Notre Dame, they have to withstand those first, you know, the first quarter, man. It's going to be, you know, the Irish are in town. You know, everybody hates Notre Dame anyway. And, you know, so I just think that that's going to be the danger time. And I will be there. I'll be in the stadium. So I'm sort of looking forward to being inside the hedges, as they say. Hopefully my good friend Herschel Walker will be down there too. But, you know, this is not a game where you can say, okay, well, let's go after this cornerback and let's go after this linebacker or this defensive end. This is a game that you got to play your best football. Whatever you think your best plays are, you got to run those plays and hope that your offensive line can hold up and your receivers can do what they need to do. So, and that's why I think it's such a pivotal game. You know, I mean, it's a great opportunity for Notre Dame to come down and show the nation that they are one of the best teams in the league. And, you know, I think from that standpoint, again, attacking somebody or, you know, weaknesses and all those kind of things, I don't think you ever expect to look at a Georgia team or Alabama team or Clemson and be able to say they have weaknesses. You know they're going to be strong, you know, in every position, and you just got to go and play the game.
All right, let's flip that around then, Tim Brown. What should Georgia fans worry about? What's the long suit where Notre Dame wins this game? What do they lean on to come down here and take a win?
Well, look, I think, you know, again, you can't ever play a perfect football game, you know. So let's not be dreaming about playing a perfect football game. But you got to force Georgia into making mistakes some kind of way, man. You know, you got to get some turnovers. You got to do some things that that you probably hadn't done in these type games before. And again, I think that the biggest thing that Notre Dame has to do is not give up the big plays. You know, you played Clemson last year, and these freshman receivers, it's ate your lunch up. And some kind of way, they got to find a way to not give up 50, 60, 70-yard pass plays and run plays, man. And if you can do that, I think you have a shot. Nobody, and he'll tell you, I mean, from the defensive guys I talk to, they feel as if, okay, if you take these big shots, we can take the big shots away.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.